Greetings in the name of the Lord. Over a long period of time, we're going to be studying together from the prison epistles written by Paul by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. I have emphasized to you in a previous lesson that many of the books of the New Testament can be divided into sections. For instance, the historical books would be the first five books of the New Testament. Then we have the travel epistles. It would be like Romans and 1st and 2nd Thessalonians and 1st and 2nd Corinthians and Galatians. And then we have the prison epistles, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, Philemon. And then the book of Hebrews. We also have the pastoral epistles, 1st and 2nd Timothy and Titus. We also have the general epistles, which would be seven books. That would be James, 1st and 2nd Peter, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, and Jude, and finally the book of Revelation. And so when we study the New Testament, many times we study the books individually, but we study them in sections. We study them according to sets of books. Now I want to emphasize again the fact that every part of the Bible is the Word of God. I know I've emphasized this before, but I want to emphasize this again and again with you. Every part of the Bible is the Word of God. We don't disregard any part of it. We're not under the law, for instance, but the principles of the Old Testament are very, very clear. The Bible is clear in the book of Romans and the book of Galatians that New Testament people are not under the Old Testament law of Moses. That has served its purpose. But nevertheless, the principles of holiness and purity before God are still before us, and we follow these principles religiously. And then, of course, we also need to understand that we're taught by the Holy Spirit. It is through the Holy Spirit that we have understanding. If you have not yet trusted the Lord Jesus as your Savior from sin, it would be difficult for you to understand the Word of God apart from the teaching work of the Holy Spirit. He, of course, will lead you to a full understanding of salvation itself. But you need the Lord Jesus as your Savior from sin. You need to trust Him as your Savior from sin and find relationship with God and then have the Holy Spirit indwelling your lives. The Bible teaches us that as soon as I trust the Lord Jesus, He comes to live in my life and to be my teacher, my guide, and my helper. And so these two things are very, very important. Now today, I want to begin with the text of the book of Ephesians. We have studied the background of the last two lessons of this book. Very important we understand the background of each of the books we're going to be studying. So I will be taking time with the background of each of the books. But now I want to begin with the text. So turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Ephesians chapter 1. The book of Ephesians chapter 1. And I want to begin with verses 1:1-14. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ, according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him, in love, having predestined us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, in which, or wherein, He hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace, wherein He hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He hath purposed in Himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in Him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will, that we should be to the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ. in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which the earnest of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of his glory. Now I want to stop our reading right here. It will take us several lessons to go through this section that we have studied. But first of all, I want to look with you at the introduction to this book of Ephesians. And the introduction has to do with the first two verses. And the first two verses have this to say: Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Now let's go through these two verses very carefully, because they contain some very important truth for us. First of all, in verse 1, he speaks of the one who is writing the book: Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. Now, in this passage, as he opens his epistle, Paul is asserting his authority as an apostle to write them this book. And this is a very important assertion by the Apostle Paul. You're going to notice that a number of his other epistles, he also included this truth in his introduction. Only in Philippians, 1 and 2 Thessalonians, and Philemon is this not used. But in every other epistle of Paul, even in 1 and 2 Timothy and Titus, written to Paul's close associates, people who absolutely believed in who he was and what God had made him and everything, even in this, he continued to assert his authority as an apostle. Now, I want to emphasize this truth because it's very important we understand. We don't have apostles today. There is no such office today. When the Apostle John died in about 95 AD, the last of the apostles died. Now, Paul was not originally an apostle, and I want to talk about this a little bit. He was not originally an apostle. The 11 were the original apostles, with Judas, of course, who betrayed him. Judas, of course, left and betrayed the Lord. But the 11 who continued were the original apostles. They were the ones who had been with the Lord Jesus during his ministry. They had actually seen him in the flesh. They had actually ministered with him. They had watched hundreds and hundreds of his miracles. They had heard dozens and dozens of different teachings given by the Lord Jesus. They had witnessed everything concerning him, including his death, burial, and resurrection. And so these apostles had been with the Lord. They were recognized as his apostles. Jesus himself called them disciples, and later the term was changed to apostles. So these men were very close to the Lord Jesus. All 11 of these men were very close to the Lord Jesus. And they themselves wondered when the Lord Jesus had ascended back to heaven, and they were waiting for the coming of the Holy Spirit, who would be that 12th apostle? Jesus had emphasized this truth, that there would be 12 apostles. Judas, of course, was gone. And they wondered, in Acts chapter 1, who would be the one. And they themselves tried to choose one. They chose one of their number. We never hear of him again, because this apparently was not God's will that that man should be the one. We believe rather, and Paul himself affirms this, that Paul was the chosen one to be that 12th apostle to replace Judas. And so then again, the number was complete. There were now 12 apostles. So when Paul was called on the road to Damascus in Acts chapter 9, he was called to be saved. At that time, he was also called as a minister and as an apostle of Jesus Christ. In other words, he had not seen Jesus in the flesh, but God gave him a wonderful vision of the Lord Jesus, and at that same time gave him the calling to be an apostle. Now, this position of an apostle, I want to emphasize, was a very limited position. It was given in that day only to those who were especially chosen by the Lord. And so it carried with it authority. Now, that's what I want to emphasize. The position of apostle carried with it special authority. In other words, this man could speak. He could have authority over churches. We don't have that position today. Churches today are independent churches, independent local churches. But in that day, an apostle could go from one church to another. Paul, for instance, could go back to Corinth. He could straighten out some of the problems in the Corinthian church, or he could go to other cities in the same way. And they recognized him as someone with authority. Now, the apostle would not only act with authority, but he would also write with authority. He had the ability to write the scriptures. The Holy Spirit would use him. And when the Holy Spirit would use him, this would be a man of some authority. Now, when we study the scriptures, there are several of the books, of course, that were not written by apostles. For instance, the book of Mark. The Gospel of Mark was written by John Mark, and he was not actually one of the apostles. Luke was not an apostle. He was a doctor. But God still used him by the Holy Spirit to write the Gospel of Luke and also the book of Acts. And then, of course, we know that Jude was not an apostle. Jude was the brother, well, we would say the half-brother of Jesus. He was related to Jesus through Mary, but not through, of course, through Joseph. And also we recognize that James was not an apostle, the James who wrote the book of James. The James who was the apostle had died under the persecution under Herod. And so the James who wrote the epistle of James was one of the half-brothers of Jesus. So God did use other men to write some of the books of the New Testament. But most of the books of the New Testament were written by the apostles themselves. Now, we notice that because Paul is giving strong teaching in all of his epistles, some had questioned both his position before God and his right to speak in such a strong and authoritative manner. And it was very important that Paul had to assert, by the will of God, I am an apostle. In other words, don't cast me down. In other words, just because the Holy Spirit is using me to write to you. The Corinthians tried to do this in 2 Corinthians. In other words, the Corinthian approach was, if you're an apostle, you're not as great an apostle, or you don't have the authority of the other apostles. In other words, you might be an apostle. You've asserted this. But you might not be as important to us as the other apostles. So if Peter says something that contradicts what you might say, then we don't have to listen to you anymore. And so in 2 Corinthians, they cast down his character, they cast down his reputation, they cast down his apostleship, they cast down everything about the Apostle Paul. And the Apostle Paul, in that epistle, and of course now in Ephesians, is asserting that he has this full authority. I am an apostle by the will of God. We also note that in most of his epistles, he's dealing with very strong matters. He's not only dealing with discipline, as in the Corinthian church, but he's also dealing with strong doctrinal matters. And the idea would be, where do you get that truth? It, of course, comes by the Holy Spirit. But what right do you have to speak so strongly concerning that truth? Some might feel, well, I have just as much right as you do. Remember back in the Old Testament when some of the people of Israel, and in fact even his own brother Aaron, questioned Moses concerning his authority from God. And God had to punish Miriam in this case when Aaron and Miriam stood up and said, we're just as important as you are. And then some of the followers of the Levites also stood up against him, the sons of Korah. Stood up against him, and they tried to oppose him. These would be the Kohathites, and so they tried to oppose him and say, you know, why do you set yourselves up above us? Well, because Moses was appointed by God. Paul is saying the same thing now. Paul, an apostle by the will of God. And so he's teaching very strong things here. Things concerning the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ, things concerning God's salvation, concerning the sinfulness of man, concerning the relationship between the Jews and the Gentiles. He's asserting some very, very strong things. And it's very important that they recognize that God, by His Holy Spirit, had empowered Paul to write these things. And he's writing them as an apostle, one whom God specially used and blessed, and one whom God, through whom God spoke in very, very special ways by the Holy Spirit. And so, even in matters of sin and disobedience, even where doctrine is not dealt with, it's important that his authority is recognized. Now, one other thing I want to note, and that is that in the cases of Timothy and Titus, now these were the second generation of Christian leaders, and even though they were his followers, Timothy was like his son. Timothy respected him completely. There would be no criticism from these men, no casting down of his character or anything. Nevertheless, Paul still asserts his authority with them, because it's important for them to understand that the Apostle Paul gave us these instructions now for this new generation. Paul was about to die when he writes 1 and 2 Timothy and Titus. He wrote 1 Timothy and Titus during his freedom between the two imprisonments from Rome, but then he writes 2 Timothy just before he dies. Perhaps even weeks before he is to die, he writes 2 Timothy. And now it's important that as they take the words that he has shared with them, given by the Holy Spirit from the Scriptures, as he shares these words with them, that they take this to the second generation. This has come from an apostle. And the second generation, the new generation, the generation of that last half of that first century and the centuries beyond, they would understand this has come from an authority, from the Apostle Paul himself. So Paul is simply reminding them, not rebuking them, reminding them from whence the teaching has come. Now I need to stop right here, but I want to pray again that you will continue this study. We've just barely begun with the first verse of the first chapter of Ephesians. So this will be a long study of these four books, but bear with me and be patient. And let's go through this together and read and study this yourselves. May the Lord bless you, each one.